Okay, all righty. It is 1:30. It's time for our monthly full board meeting of the Integrated Waste Management Authority. So we will begin with, this is the call to order. We'll begin with roll call, please. The clerk had just walked 50 feet away, so I'm waiting for that. Also, I'm going to advise everybody that there may be a problem with the Zoom link with the agenda that's connected to the agenda packet. And okay, we're getting some feedback here. Our folks are working to resolve that. Folks, attendees may copy and paste the Zoom link into their browser, and the link will work that way. And he's making sure that link is out there right now for members of the public trying to log on. It does work if you click on the link directly and not on the agenda packet. Okay, are you guys getting feedback? Because I'm getting some feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds kind of strange, actually.
Yes.
Off the speaker and just use
it. Sounds like little Muppets or something.
Hang on a second.
Maybe the Muppets are interested in integrated waste management.
Okay, how's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
Better. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I turned off the speaker here and just using the computer speaker. Mm-hmm. I think that'll work better. All right. Okay, I'm not sure who that was. Please keep yourself on mute. Let's proceed with the roll call. Barbara or Sasha?
Miss Bright?
Bright?
Yeah. I'm sorry, was that you, Miss Bright? I think you're muted.
It was her.
Thank you. Mr. Enns?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Mr. Hammond?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Heller?
Here.
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 Miss Mark?
Miss Mark? Miss Mark? Miss Mark? Miss
Mark? There's an echo. There's an echo.
I hear that. Mr. Newton?
Right here.
Thank you. Mr. Storton?
Here.
And Mr. Burbo.
Here.
All are present. We have a quorum.
Thank you. It's also a pleasure having feedback. Maybe keep yourself muted until, when we need you. Okay, we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. So please join me in saluting our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, at this point, we will proceed to public comments for items not on the agenda. So if you're here listening in, wish to speak on one of the agenda items, this is not the appropriate place. But we welcome public comment on items not on the agenda that are under the purview of this board. So do we have any public comment for items not on the agenda? Raise your hand and the clerk will identify you.
This time, if you have a comment, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press *9. And I am not seeing anybody for public comment.
Okay, all right, thank you. Well, we will, the board will now enter into a closed session, discuss an issue of public employment regarding our current interim executive director. So this meeting was set up, the clerk can explain it, but this is not the normal Zoom meeting. This was set up so that we could go into breakout rooms using webinars. So they're gonna push the board members out into a meeting, in a separate meeting room in which only the board members will be participants. So we'll go ahead and do that now. And for members of the public, we will come back into open session and for the rest of the agenda.
Mr. Barbeau.
President Barbeau.
Would you like to take public comment?
Yes.
For
thank you.
Matters?
Before we do that.
And for the record, I will just say it's public. The board is adjourning to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54957B1. This is public employment, interim executive director.
Thank you, Mr. Minery. And let's see if we have any public comment on this closed session item.
Yeah, at this time, if you have public comment for closed session, just press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen. Or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. I have nobody for public comment.
Okay, thank you. Then we will proceed to the closed session, and you will just push us out into the separate meeting room, correct? Or
you should be getting your invites now.
Okay. So we'll click on that and we'll see the board in closed session. Okay. So we are back in open session. I'd like a confirmation from somebody that they can hear me okay.
I can hear you.
Loud and clear.
Okay. I can hear you. We don't have.
Okay, so we are out of closed session.
Karen, do we, or is she here?
Mr. Minery, as our legal counsel, do we have anything to report out of closed session?
There is no reportable action out of closed session.
Okay, thank you. I apologize to Jeff Heller and Jeff Minery for not being specific when I say Jeff. Okay, we will proceed to item number 6, which is our deputy director's oral report. Patty, take it away.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, thank you very much. First up, do we have any questions on the credit card report located on page 4 of your agenda packet or beginning on page 5, the expense report? Now, while you're thumbing through your packet to get to those pages, if I might point out on the expense report, the movie theater contracts will be ending this month and will not be renewed. Additionally, at the last board meeting, the board asked for a study session on science discovery invoices and legal counsel invoices, which I'm not prepared to do today. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you, but given our packed agenda today, this has temporarily been postponed till the next meeting. That being said, please stop by our office, give me a call or email me if you'd like to see or discuss those invoices in advance of that next meeting. Are there any questions on these documents?
Any board questions?
Okay, I think I'm hearing none, so we'll move on to, I just want to take a moment to update the board on the results of the often board requested meetings. First, as you recall, at the request of the board, our consultant, Rob Hilton, has hosted 2 city special district hauler rate meetings. The last one was on January 4th, well attended, both meetings with city managers, special district managers, associated legal teams, as well as our legal. And the details of these 2 meetings and the resulting report will be thoroughly discussed in agenda item number 14. So I won't belabor them here. And instead, I'll move on to the industry meeting. Now, this meeting is hosted and led by the IWMA staff. This is the meeting where our 5 hauling companies, our 3 landfill operators, our material recovery facility operators and composting managers, and several permitted haulers companies come together once a month. The last one was on January 4th. Now, the main focus of this last meeting was to reintroduce Pablo, who spoke at length about the industry agency relationship, next steps, the need for a timeline to coordinating movement moving forward, his involvement with the IWMA, and I think all the participants really greatly appreciated it. Again, this meeting, unless canceled, is once a month. Following that meeting was the second ad hoc JPA meeting. just a reminder to those listening to this meeting today who may be unfamiliar with this topic, the ad hoc committee was formed to update our JPA document. It's led by four IWMA board members, President Charles Barbeau, John Hammond, Keith Storton, and representing the special districts, Robert N. Other participants at this meeting included a lot of city managers, special district managers, legal staff, agency staff, even Jeff Minnery, our legal, who supplied the starting documents for this meeting. Now, the meeting number one was on November 19th. As previously mentioned, the starting documents were provided by Mr. Minnery, who received input prior to that meeting, into the starting documents, and we took verbal and written input during that ad hoc meeting as well. After that meeting, Mr. Minnery incorporated those changes and emailed it out to staff so that we could then distribute it prior to the next meeting. Fast forward to the second meeting, which was on January 6th. Again, recap, legal counsel, Mr. Minnery walked through the document with additional changes submitted by legal counsel from Tim Carmel. That being said, at the conclusion of the meeting, staff at the IWMA was tasked with three additional tasks. Task number one, meet with Cal Recycle to discuss the pros and the cons of either going as a regional agency or a JPA. That task has been completed. Both Pavel and I met with Cal Recycle. Number two, develop an internal administrative policy clearly defining the member agency's role in the IWMA internal or budget approval process. This task is still pending. And three, follow up with County Auditor Controller's Office, asking if they'd still be willing to continue to be our treasurer. This task is still pending as well. The good news, at the conclusion of that second meeting, participants decided they didn't need another meeting. We're just gonna get the additional comments. Staff here are gonna do the three updates and then get back to Jeff Minnery with those updates so they can incorporate Cal Recycle results. And then of course, the auditor controller input as well. Legal will then distribute that contract back out via email for final input. Once that input's received, we'll turn around and bring it back to this board for approval. So ad hoc committee members, legal counsel, or even Pablo, did I miss anything or do you want to add anything on this meeting?
Does anybody on the committee or Mr. Minnery, do you have any comments?
I have no comment. Thank you for the summary, Patty.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you for the Charles. Go ahead, Robert. Go ahead.
I just want to say I think that we're pretty close on the JPA. I felt very comfortable at the end of our meeting. So any other feedback on that? But I think we're pretty close to where we need to be on the JPA.
Okay, Keith?
No, I just wanted to say thank you to Jeff Minnery for the work that he's done to get this going and certainly staff for all the work they've put into it as well. I was curious with the remaining tasks at hand, do we have kind of an idea of a timeline as to when we can expect this turnaround?
Well, you know, our objective was to be able to get it back to the board in February, but that's going to be dependent on, of course, how quickly we get the questions answered, a revised version out. For comment by those, you know, city managers, general managers, city's attorneys, et cetera. Because we got to be careful. We don't want to develop a product that there's a consensus about on the committee, and then, I'll say a consensus on the board, but then we get out there and, some city attorney in an individual city goes, wait, I don't like this. You know, this doesn't allow for something. So our objective is, of course, to get it back to this full board by February. But that's, not a guarantee. That's a reasonable objective at this point.
Sound good. Any other comments? Nope. Okay. And last but not least, the local task force meeting. Just a reminder, we have that meeting every month, I should say. And the majority of that meeting last time was on the topic of a grant funding that was released by Cal Recycle. The bad news is that the deadline for this grant is tight. Applications must be submitted by February 1st. The good news is that $57 million in funding is available. And with, as I understand it, a city or a special district will get a minimum of $20,000 in funding per applicant. There may be more funding available, but it depends on who turns in the applications. So once all the applications are turned in, if there's any funding left over, CalRecycle may actually send out more funding based on population, which is good news, okay? The eligible products for this grant are listed right here in front of you. It's a wide variety, frankly. And to apply for it, you have to have an ordinance passed. You must have that SB 1383 ordinance. The deadline to have it passed by your board or council is April 1st, 2022. Or you have to certify that you intend to do that. So we'll work with anybody if you have any questions on that, cities or counties, and make sure that we can actually work through that issue if it is an issue for you. Many of you have already passed them. Bottom line, this is a great opportunity, and this agency is willing and able to help anybody who wants to apply as a regional applicant, or if you want to apply on your own, we'd be happy to help and support you in any way on that as well. Okay, so with that, it concludes my oral report.
Patty, this grant, you say the first round of applications is due February 1st. Mm-hmm. I hope it's then not a complicated grant application. Has any jurisdiction submitted, or are we going to submit as IWMA, or how's that working?
Well, I sent out an email on Monday asking jurisdictions, special district cities, whether they wanted to apply on their own or be part of the regional application. Many have gotten back to me and said they'd like IWMA to apply for them on their behalf. Some, however, are still in the process of deciding. And we're getting phone calls and fielding emails on that all day long. So we'll keep working with each individual entity to make sure that they're guided down the path that works best for them.
All right. Thank you, Patty.
You're welcome.
And is that it that's it for your report?
That's it. That concludes my oral report.
Great report. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on to our consent agenda, which items 7 through 12, consisting of minutes of various meetings and executive committee meetings we've had, and a resolution re-ratifying the proclamation of emergency so we can continue to conduct meetings by Zoom. Before we proceed to board comment, do we have any public comment on the consent agenda, items 7 through 12?
I do have one hand raised, but if anybody else wishes to make public comment on matters on consent agenda, you may press the raise hand button found in your reactions down at the bottom of the page, or if you're on the phone, you may press *9. And I will start with Aline Villa. Aline, can you unmute yourself and let me share a different screen?
I don't have a comment. I'm trying to raise, I had a question for Patty, but I don't know if she can still answer it.
Well, we don't typically directly answer questions from public. Perhaps, do you have Patty's email? You could email her and she might be able to answer.
Okay. I'm just trying to lower my hand. All right.
Thank you. Okay. If there's no further public comment, we'll bring it back to the board. Any discussion questions by board members, or do we have a motion?
Charles, I have a go ahead and make a motion with no further discussion from consent items 7 through 12 approval.
This is Keith. I'll second.
So we have a motion by John Hammond, a second by Keith Storton. Let's go ahead and read the roll.
Mr. Hammond.
Aye.
Mr. Storton.
Yes.
Ms. Bright.
Yes.
Mr. Heller.
Yes.
Mr. Newton.
Yes.
And Mr. Burbeau.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Thank you.
Also says yes.
I apologize, Mr. Enns. May I take that roll call vote one more time?
Mr. Burbeau. That's a good idea.
Well, yes, certainly. If you missed anybody, please call them out.
All right. The motion was made by Mr. Hammond, seconded by Mr. Newton. Mr. Hammond.
Aye.
No, it was seconded by Mr. Storton.
Correct.
For the record.
Mr. Storton.
Yes.
Ms. Bright.
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes. Thank you.
I apologize, Mr.
That's all right.
Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm having technical difficulties with our computer program, so I'm going to have to go to a different route. I do apologize. So, Mr. Heller, next, Ms. Marks.
Yes.
Mr. Newton.
Yes.
And Mr. Burbeau.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously. I do apologize for that.
So everybody got called. Okay, we're ready to move on to item number 13. This is appointment of Pavel Ogren as interim executive director with the recommendation to approve the appointment and approve the attached employment agreement. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Minery.
Thank you, President Barbeau, directors of the board. I'll try to make this brief. I think the staff report covers the majority of the relevant information. Your board has recently engaged Mr. Ogren as a consultant, wherein he has been working in that capacity for the last 3 weeks or so. Today before you is a proposal to have Mr. Ogren be your interim executive director. This is the same contract that Mr. Ogren worked under last time that he worked in that capacity. And with that, I'll take any questions, but I think you have the relevant information.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Jeff. I have a question though for the clerk or for Barbara. On my screen, it has a telephone number, so it's entered the waiting room and giving me an option of admit or view. That's something you guys are dealing with, right? I don't need to do something there.
Correct. I don't see that on my end. Do you, Barbara?
I do not.
Should I go ahead and admit them? I'm not sure it's why it's appearing on my screen, but if it's a member of the public trying to participate, I don't want to exclude them.
Yeah, go ahead and hit admit.
Okay, yeah, it says the number is 805-924-927-4778. Okay, I'm going to admit that person.
I see them in the room
already. Yeah, they're already in, but you can try again just in case they lost or something.
Okay. Hopefully we don't end up with background feedback or the double entry. Okay, so Mr. Minery has outlined the process. The board is aware of this issue and aware of the report. So we'll see if any board members have any questions regarding this agenda item. And then we would proceed to public comment. So any board members have any questions? Okay. All right. I do not see any comment or any rather questions. We'll have time for comment after public. We'll have time for a board member comment after public comment. Okay, so we will go ahead and proceed to public comment on item number 13.
Okay. If you'd like to make a comment on item number 13, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screens. Or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. I am not seeing anybody who wishes to make public comment.
Okay, in which case we will bring it back to the board for any comment and or a motion.
This is Keith. I will move to appoint Pavel Ogren as our interim executive director.
Jeff Heller, second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Do we have any further comment? Doesn't look like it. Then we will proceed to the roll call.
Mr. Storton.
I'm sorry, can I just make, this is an approval of the appointment and the approval of the attached employment agreement. Is that correct characterization of your motion?
That is correct, thank you.
Thank you, and the second.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for the clarification, Mr. Minery. And let's proceed with the roll call.
Mr. Storton.
Yes.
Mr. Heller.
Yes.
Ms. Bright.
Yes.
Mr. Enns.
Yes.
Mr. Hammond.
Enthusiastically, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hammond. Ms. Marks.
Yes.
Mr. Newton.
Yes.
And Mr. Burbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, with that, Mr. Ogren joined me after the closed session concluded and is standing here next to me. And I intend to administer to him the oath of office for the position of interim executive director of the Slo County Integrated Waste Management Authority. So, Pava, if you'd raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Pava Ogren.
I, Pava Ogren.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And that I will defend the same against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And that I will defend the same against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I take this obligation freely without.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
Discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations. Welcome aboard. Sorry, I kind of messed that up. I've read that oath hundreds of times to soldiers re-enlisting or enlisting or whatever. I would think I'd have it memorized by now. Okay. Very good. So we did that so that Pablo, being properly sworn in, could go ahead and take on the role and participate in the rest of the meeting as our interim executive director. Mr. Minery, that is proper and correct? Or?
Yes, that is proper and correct.
Okay. With that, item 13 being concluded, we will move on to item 14. And as the consultant in the last 3 weeks, Pablo's been involved in items 14 and 15. So I am going to turn over the introduction of item 14 to Pablo.
And we're going to have Patty start the introduction.
Okay.
Okay, Patty? So thank you very much, President Barbeau. So this slide or this agenda item really is accumulation of a lot of work from our consultant, Rob Hilton. So please turn to page 34 of your packet for the staff page for the summary of this in this agenda item, and then to 36 for the final document submitted to the board by Rob Hilton. Now, just a reminder to those listening today, because there's a lot of confusion around this, that the board directed Rob and his team to meet with the seven city managers in the 11 special districts to work through, receive, incorporate their input, and put it all into a final document here that you see before you today attached. So in just a moment, Rob Hilton is going to give you a presentation and field questions on that document. I look forward to a robust discussion. But before doing so, I want to remind the board that staff recommends that you receive and discuss this report only at this time. Pava, do you have any other comments or additions before we have Rob start his presentation?
Certainly. Thank you, Patty. My only other preliminary comment is that after our last meeting where this was presented to the agencies, we did form a subgroup with a representative of San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, and Arroyo Grande in order to follow up on some of the detailed questions that still exist and any of the direction that your board provides today. So we have a subgroup formed in order to help review final details before this comes back to your boards for final action.
Okay, next up is Rob Hilton.
All right. Good afternoon, board, members of the public. Can you authorize me to share my screen so that I can get into the slide deck here? There we go. Thank you. Let's make sure I've got that correct. Well, it's good to be back with you here today, and we do have a revised version of the fee study and cost of service study that was requested by the board. And as was indicated, we've reviewed that with the member agencies and gotten a fair bit of feedback from them, which we've incorporated into the analysis that's in front of you and the report that's in front of you. As Pavo indicated, there was a robust discussion there. I think in general, folks were satisfied that their issues had been resolved and that we provided the additional details and things that were necessary. But there were some ideas about other ways of doing things and some additional details that some folks were asking about being able to dig into. And so it may be appropriate to not approve the fee at today's meeting and instead allow a little bit more time and perhaps consider approving that at the February meeting. But certainly that is the board's prerogative. So let me quickly summarize for you the key revisions from the last draft that you saw in your prior meeting. So previously we proposed a 4.5% fee increase over the existing 2% fee that was in place, which would have resulted in a total fee load of about 6.5%. In the recalculation based on the additional information that was provided and the revised operating reserve ratio, we are now at a 5.4% fee. So that has come down a bit as a result of the additional information and direction from the board and the member agencies. So thank you for that. It was able to allow us to tighten things up a little bit in the analysis. We also clarified in the report that the cumulative amount of the fee as opposed to the amount of the fee increases, there was a little bit of confusion out there about whether this was a 4.5% fee or a 6.5% fee. So as we've presented it in the final version of the report, it's the total fee amount, not the increase amount. Obviously, we've incorporated the operating reserve fund target that the board approved at the last meeting. We've postponed the effectiveness of the fee. Our prior analysis assumed that it would be in place on January 1. Obviously, that hasn't happened. Based on information from the member agencies about their rate setting processes, we've instead assumed that the fee would be in place by July 1 of this year. It's important to note, and we emphasize this in the report, if it fails to go into effect on July 1, it will require dramatic cost cutting at the IWMA in order to not go negative in your fund balances. We adjusted back some of the salary and employee expenses that we had reduced in the prior analysis, as we now have information, obviously, that Paavo is rejoining and that the management analyst position is no longer vacant. So we've restored those costs. We've also restored the costs associated with the HHW program and the schools program based on the county MOU. So essentially, because those costs aren't being shed and the county wants to continue to participate and fund those, we've retained those costs, but we also have the offsetting revenue coming in from the county for that. We got great cooperation, and I want to thank the haulers, the CSDs, the cities for the data that was provided. It really helped us dial these assumptions in a lot better, both about the account base as well as the increases that the agencies are anticipating from the negotiations they're having with their haulers over the base year rate adjustments and the SB 1383 rate adjustments. And so by being able to project those revenue increases in, it softened some of the fee impact. So our analysis is presented in a number of different schedules in the report. We've highlighted this sort of executive summary schedule here, but in the report, you'll see a lot more detail about the costs, the revenues, how we got at our assumptions for this so that there is greater transparency around that as the member agencies start to work to set their own rates. What we've found is that at the end of this fiscal year and at the start of charging the new fee amount, you will have drawn down your unrestricted balance to about $300,000, which is about $600,000 below the reserve target that the board adopted. And that through the 3 years of this model run, you would get back up to that board approved reserve target and actually by the end of it have about $35,000, $40,000 of additional revenue beyond that reserve target in the account. It will be important to redo this study at the end of this model run period, because essentially the 5.4% fee is building up the reserve balance over that 3 years. And if you continue at the 5.4% and all of the other assumptions are unchanged, then what you'll find is you're contributing more to the reserve balance than you need. And so it's likely that at the end of this 3-year model run that you would either flatten things out or perhaps even look at a reduction. And more than just looking at it at the end of the 3-year model run, we would really advise that you take a look at this each year or maybe even on a quarterly basis to see how close the actual performance of the system is to the assumptions that were made in the model. Because we're drawing down that reserve balance so far, if there are revenues that aren't coming in or if costs are overrunning expectations, it can have an eroding impact on that reserve balance, and it'll be important to address that more promptly than the end of the 3-year cycle here. The other thing about that 3-year cycle is that it will get you through your first year of SB 1383 enforcement, which happens in 2024, calendar year 2024. And so it'll allow you, you know, to have the experience of those costs and those obligations to see how big or small they turn out to be, and to be able to incorporate those results in time for July of 2025. We made a number of key assumptions in this, and some of those assumptions have sensitivities to them. First, that the number of service accounts in the IWMA will decrease by 6% as a result of the unincorporated county, including Los Osos, withdrawing from the IWMA. We were able to dial that assumption in a little bit better based on the information provided by the CSDs, so thank you. That is a more precise number now. However, if that shifts based on growth, based on other actions that the county takes or by other withdrawals from the JPA, that will be something that needs to be revisited. Similarly, we've assumed that the landfill tip fee revenue, that $3 per ton amount, would go down by 6% commensurate with the accounts. If there's something in the unincorporated county accounts where their trash is heavier or lighter on a per account basis than the rest of the service areas, then that can have some impact on the results at the end of it. We took a pretty conservative look at the CPI inflation and the labor rate assumptions in the modeling and assumed 3%. Those may in fact be higher. The current CPIs that we're seeing out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics are showing as much as 7% for December of 2021. So, you know, that's another thing to keep an eye on. If your costs are inflating at a faster rate than was assumed in here, that may have an eroding impact on that reserve balance as well. We did not adjust the landfill tipping fee. It's remaining constant at that $3 per ton. And we relied heavily on the information provided by the member agencies and the haulers. So thank you again for that information. However, if there are inaccuracies in that, or if that information proves to be off in some regard, there is some sensitivity to this analysis and another good reason to be checking how this is playing out on a pretty regular basis. We've stated a number of limitations in the report, and I've described some of those to you. One, you know, we've had to project and extrapolate certain costs over time and didn't have perfect information about some of those things. And so we've made the estimates based on the best available information to us and to the jurisdictions. But you know, nobody's gone through an implementation of SB 1383 before. We have not gone through the withdrawal of the county. And so there are things that are pending, which we know about, but don't know with perfect information, and they may have some impact on the outcome. Obviously, the member agencies are still in negotiations with their service providers over the final rates and services that will be provided going forward. And there were estimates provided by the jurisdictions about what those rate increases would be, but the final rate increases are likely to be different, in some cases significantly, from the estimates that were provided. In addition, because we assumed that those rates would go into effect on July 1 and that the IWMA fee adjustment would go into effect on July 1, if there is an adjustment to either the adoption of the rates by the member agencies or the adoption of the fee by the IWMA, obviously that will have an impact on the outcome. So with that, I'm available for any questions that the board may have or members of the public.
Rob, John Hammond, how soon do you think you would want to take a pulse reading on this analysis? In other words, toward the end of the year, 6 months after, you know, we start halfway through the fiscal?
I would look at the revenue side of it pretty carefully after the first 3 months, because you've got quarterly billing cycles and revenue cycles with the hauler billing. So after that first quarterly billing cycle, I'd want to understand what was happening on the revenue side. And then probably after about 6 months, maybe at the midpoint of the fiscal year, take a look at the expense side and see how that's coming in. But I would probably monitor it on a quarterly basis for that revenue, at least for the first year, to make sure that there aren't any surprises.
Great, thank you.
Keith Storton.
Thank you. Rob, thank you for the report. I was curious, the report mentioned that you got cooperation from most of the member agencies as far as getting information, but some may have not been able to for some reason. Was everyone able to participate, or is there a...
There was one small CSD that we didn't get information from, and we were able to use the housing data that we had previously as a proxy for it, but it was such a small jurisdiction that I don't think it's going to be a problem for us.
Okay, very good. And then I know there's some discussion about using gross receipts versus individual accounts. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how that pans out?
I've done hour-long conference presentations on that, so I'll try and give you the short version. There are pluses and minuses to either approach. The dollar per account basis can be very complex, and it can be very complicated to message to the public. So it has the benefit that literally everybody in the county would be paying on an equal basis. So from an equity perspective, that may be a good approach to say, all residents are going to pay, I don't know what the number is, but I'll say $1 per month for their service or for this fee. And that would make sure that, you know, regardless of what your rate to the hauler is and the cost of the hauler providing service, everybody's contributing the same amount to the IWMA. On the other hand, by doing it that way, you will disproportionately affect the smallest generators. Right? And it's sort of the flat tax versus progressive tax argument. If you shift from a percentage-based fee, which you currently have for all of your commercial generators and many of your residential generators, you shift from that percentage-based to a flat fee, it will disproportionately affect all of the small mom-and-pop businesses and the low-income households and smaller households that subscribe to the smallest levels of service. So, it's 100% a policy decision which direction to go, and we can do the math either way. It's not too complicated, but it's important to understand the trade-offs as you do that and sort of who is benefiting and being impacted by that.
Thanks for that. It was a little confusing to me at first, but I appreciate the explanation. I was curious, as we're moving forward, we're certainly on a time crunch. Would you make a recommendation that perhaps we go as is and then maybe analyze that aspect of it at a later time?
Again, this is a policy decision and very much has to do with the character and the values of your community. And so I don't want to try and step into your shoes there. I will just tell you from a pragmatic perspective, it will take some time for us to do that. It probably might, you know, probably put us into the March meeting. And time is of the essence in adopting this, because the agencies, particularly those that do 218 notices, need to know what these numbers are in order to do their 218 notices. There's a 45-day notice and protest process, and then the adoption of the rates and then noticing customers of those changes. And so if we make that change, it'll be
sort of practically challenging our schedule on getting all the rates adopted. So from a simplicity perspective, I would go with what we have and then perhaps revisit that discussion after the management review is done. And if there are some findings from that, perhaps they could be incorporated.
Great, thanks. I appreciate that. That's all I had. Thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong though, Rob, or maybe Paavo, that part of that discussion centered around was an alternative way in which would make certain jurisdictions that have expressed discomfort with the current process for in terms of how it plays into their 218 process, that a per account basis might make them more comfortable with just treating it as a pass-through, a pass-through governmental fee, and then they wouldn't have to engage in 218, which would make it simpler for some of them. I mean, I understand that was the attraction of considering an alternative method.
And I don't know that they're mutually exclusive. I think that was a position that was stated, but my understanding is that currently the fee is a pass-through fee. It shows up as an itemized element on everyone's bill. And that's true of the businesses that get the 2%. It's true of the residents that get the 2%. And it's also true of the residents that get the 30 cents per account. And so I mechanically, and in terms of the billing and the pass-through logic, I don't know that there's any significant difference there. And I don't know that there's any significant difference in terms of how the member agency's 218 process works. It's simply noticing whatever format that comes through in. One other important feature of the percentage-based that would be good for the board to understand, in the percentage-based fee, you don't necessarily need to attach an inflation measure to the fee because it will naturally increase by CPI or some proxy for it as your collection rates adjust by CPI. If you do a dollar per account approach, you'll end up in the position that you need to have some inflationary measure attached to the fee, and then your board will want to consider the application of that inflation each year, and you'll have to make sure that the member agencies have noticed it appropriately so that that can be done.
Right. All right, I'm going to go to Robert. Before I do, I would make a side note that in Atascadero, my garbage bill has absolutely no mention of an IWMA-related fee. In fact, it doesn't separate out the charge for, you know, blue bin, green bin. It's just one single dollar amount, period, with no detailed breakdown of its components. Okay, Robert Enns.
Okay, First of all, I agree, Keith. I like your comment. I think we need to, we're concerned about our schedule. We need to probably go with what we've got. If we want to tweak it later or look at some aspect of it later, that's fine. But we're under some pressure here to get this done with the 218s that are going to be out there. So, Rob, let me ask you, the basis of this really is the 5.4%, the hauler of the hauler gross receipts, and then the $3 a ton at the tipping fee. Is that really the crux of the whole thing?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, I'm supporting then moving forward with those numbers and getting them out there and see if we can beat the July deadline.
Is that a motion, Mr. Enns?
I can certainly make that a motion.
I'll second it.
Public comment?
We need to do public input, but the actual recommendation here is to receive, file, and discuss and give staff any direction. So unless we have some specific direction, we need to be specific in the direction if we're going to make a motion on that.
So, okay. John, Charles, that doesn't say, it says give staff direction. So you're right. I think we can't make a motion on this yet.
Charles.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, again, I agree that we should be discussing and getting this back to the different agencies to further look at one more time. And time is truly of the essence, but when past Robles' case, essentially, we're going to be looking at our 218 process through the end of the year, and hopefully, again, a year from now, we would then be implementing the new rate. But I know certain agencies would like to get going. I think San Luis, I've heard that they're very eager to get this started as well. But I think It may need more time again through the our staffing to review things a little bit, but I think the first meeting in February, we should definitely get into this again.
Right, because we would be looking at it coming back in February after some more coordination, especially now with Pablo on board, but some more coordination with the jurisdictions that we would be looking in February to adopt the rate resolution, correct? Because we need to, you know, have that kind of formally on the books, if you will, for the jurisdictions to deal with. And this is, in my mind, and has been for some time, our number one issue, because if we can't, you know, resolve where we're going with rates and with the concurrence of our member jurisdictions, or at least some consensus, we're in trouble because we're spending 1383 costs more than we're taking in. We're using up reserves. And so I'm very, very concerned time-wise about how things go with the jurisdictions. So Jan, go ahead, John.
I'll say, we'll finish up real quick. We've also stated that the fact that our agency sometimes implements these without a whole lot of discussion. And I think this is another important point that we need to get staff fully vetted and with comment back to each member here to discuss on the final, startup of this increase. So again, I think a proper step to give a little time.
Okay. Thank you, John. Jan?
Yes, I just want to agree that time is of the essence. I think if this board can do anything, if we need to have special meetings, or if there's anything that we can do to speed up the process, it's important that we do that. And I also think that what was mentioned earlier about each entity being charged, either charged separately or having an analysis that each entity could look at and apply to itself, makes a lot of sense. The whole question of the data that is needed for the 218 process in terms of the city of San Luis Obispo, I've spoken to staff and they're still saying that they need more information. That would be something that I hope Pablo could help unearth. Earlier, Pablo has said that the data is there. It's just a matter of packaging it in such a way that it is accessible to the entities, especially the ones who have to do the 218 process. So let's move forward as quickly as we can. And obviously we can't control the timing of all these various entities, but if we can also send out the message that time is of the essence, we really need to streamline and just sort of supercharge the process in order to meet these different deadlines. So that's the input I have at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Any other board member have a comment or question? If not, we will go to see if there's public comment, and I also want to see if Pablo has any further comment. Let's go to public comment first.
At this time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen. If you don't see it right away, it should be under your reactions button. Or if you're on the phone, you may press *9. I don't see anybody for public comment.
All right, thank you. And Pablo, do you have any comment, further comment on this?
Just very briefly, and understanding that time is of the essence. As I mentioned earlier, there's a subgroup to follow up on the open questions on the analysis. And the subgroup includes participants from the City of Paso Robles, the City of San Luis Obispo, and the City of Arroyo Grande. So I'll be working with them on those details, including what Member Marks had just brought up. The two work products, in addition to the rate analysis that FNH has provided, I need to work with legal counsel so that we have an appropriate resolution for your board to adopt that includes findings, working with the subgroup, and findings with relationship to what is IWMA doing in terms of Prop 218 or Prop 26 so that the resolution is well documented in terms of what those legal requirements are. And then secondly, I want to work with the subgroup in consideration of potential rate setting policy. And the reason why I bring this up is, as Patty had mentioned during her deputy director report, the ad hoc committee for the JPA has made some really good progress. And one of the items that is currently supported, and granted it's subject to, you know, everybody's final approval though, is a standard within the JPA basically obligating IWMA to certain requirements in terms of findings for Proposition 218. And as you might imagine, in a JPA, that language is you know, general and stuff. And what I really want to do then is to work with the subgroup and say, what does this mean in terms of a rate setting policy? What I want to avoid is having JPA language that is left undetermined as to what, you know, the details might be, because then every single time there's a rate proposal, people are going to tend to reinvent what those details might be. So recognizing that there's changes in the JPA language that are gaining support, how might we then adopt sort of a rate setting policy to address those JPA provisions and then help with the resolution adopting the rates? So again, three aspects of this upcoming work between now and February. One is reviewing the open questions and details on data. Second is to develop the actual resolution with appropriate findings. And third is to work with the subgroup on a potential rate setting policy.
Thank you, Pavo. I'm going to briefly reopen public comment. I see Mr. Claren has his hand raised. And Mr. Claren, if that's accurate, I'm not sure if you're
Charles. Running. Charles, I have to leave the meeting. I have another one I need to do, but I don't see that we don't have any motions that need to be made here. So I've got another meeting I need to run, so you'll have to excuse me. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
You bet.
Mr. Claren, did you wish to speak?
Yes, I'm sorry. My computer kind of froze a little bit, so I'm sorry I missed the public comment. Yeah, this is Jeff Claren here with Waste Connections representing San Luis Garbage, South County Sanitary, 3, More Big Garbage, and Mission Country Disposal. One of the things I wanted to comment on Rob's report, you know, the interesting thing we're kind of going through, we submitted all rate applications to our member agencies. The one thing that was being talked about was the percentage versus the flat fee. You know, I know the flat fee that the IWMA imposed since 2008, so that's like 24 years, it was 30 cents per customer. And it's going to be a dramatic switch to a percentage to now 5.4%. And I just want to make known, it's operated under a flat fee. And when you look at hauling costs, a lot of the cost depends where the disposal of the recycling facility is. So the further away from them, they get charged a little bit more per Prop 218. So when you look at it, you know, people that are farther away from the landfill in the northern communities, at least in our service area for Waste Connections, their rate is more expensive than what it is closer to landfill like City of San Luis. So when they get charged a percentage, a lot of these communities that are further from the landfill for the recycling facility or digester, like Cayucas and Cambria, that their rates will be higher. So their percentage would be actually more what they're paying per customer. So I just wanted to comment on that. And just, you know, and another thing, like I said, I think it's already been brought up that we've already submitted rate applications for all the cities and we're kind of waiting for, you know, the IWMA to kind of propose a fee structure so we can include it into the Prop 218 notices. So yeah, and City of SLO is actually first, but all the other agencies have rate applications into them. Thank you for allowing for comment.
Okay. Thank you for those comments. Appreciate it. Okay, we're gonna go ahead and close public comment again as to come back, see if there's any further board comment on this item. Otherwise we will proceed. Okay. Hearing none, we will proceed to item number 15. And item number 15, proposal to support IWMA management review and budget analysis. You know, at our December meeting, we asked the board to get together with HF&H and for HF&H provide a proposal in response to what was contained in several of our member agencies' resolutions. And that was a request to have a third party firm analyze our staffing structures and, you know, expenditures, et cetera. And so we, you know, we asked HFNH to come back with a proposal on that. They did. It was frankly fairly pricey, I thought. I know Pablo, you had some commentary on that, and I'm going to turn it over to you on this item.
Certainly, and I want to, again, Patty put together this item. So Patty, if you have any introductory remarks.
Okay. Just reiterating what President Barbeau said, please turn to your packet. It's number 48 for the staff page. Gives a good summary on this. And again, as Charles Barbeau mentioned, Rob Hilton has taken and submitted proposals, actually two proposals. So on page 50 of your agenda packet is proposal number one. And on page 54 is proposal number two. Now, let's go to the next slide. Again, two proposals, and each slide has an option on it or not. What's similar about both of the proposals is the scope of work. For the most part, as you can see, 1 through 6 are identical on both proposals. And right here, this is really important. Note the date, April 2022, is the expected date that this scope of work should be completed. Again, time is of the essence. So this is going to be a tight timeline, and I'm not sure how it all fits into the big picture. Moving forward, next slide, please. Again, we discussed this prior. Option number one, HFNH is going to take the lead on this. The fiscal impact, as you can see right before you on this slide, with an option, task 5B. Now, this option was actually talked about previously, and this is the customer count, right? Are we going to do this option? Are we going to have Rob Hilton and his team take another deep dive into the data to see if the customer counts would be better or not? And then the alternative proposal, number two, is where staff at the IWMA assumes the budgetary development and member agency coordination, which, as you can see, has reduced the cost or overall impact of that proposal. Again, with the option of that task 5B. So before you today, this board has the option of proposal number one or proposal number two. And on each of those proposals, whether they want the optional task 5B or not. Are there any questions on this before we move on?
Eddie, I have one question. This is Keith. I was just curious, as we look at these two proposals, I'm assuming staff did look at proposal number two and assumed that they could take on some of this burden moving forward, and that is okay with staff.
Yes, we worked closely with Rob Hilton to redevelop an alternative proposal. He was very kind to help us through that.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
When the first proposal came in, that engendered some discussion regarding, is there a way to reduce some of that cost? And so Patty and Pablo talked about that and talked about it with Rob. And so that's what caused proposal number two. So, I'm sorry, go ahead, Karen.
Thank you. So just to clarify for everyone who may be watching or listening, the basic difference between number one and number two is number two considers that IWMA staff is going to take on a portion of the workload. And proposal number one means that basically they are not.
Correct.
I don't think I've seen that very well, but is that the basic?
If I might just jump in real quick, and you are correct, Member Wright. Essentially, proposal number two is what you're looking at right now, because that's assuming that you had hired me as the interim executive director, which you did. If you had not hired me on agenda item number 13, you'd be looking at proposal number one. Based on your actions to hire me, it's really proposal number two that you're focusing on, because I'll be taking more of a lead on some of the aspects of the work, as Patty mentioned. Optional task 5B then is simply the optional task to to evaluate what the fee might be if it's done on customer accounts rather than gross hauler revenues. And as discussed in the previous agenda item, with time being of the essence, it's a big question as to whether or not we would be able to implement that alternative fee on a per customer basis. I also want to mention that, of course, that FNH did their analysis based on gross hauler revenues, but that was based on prior direction of the board. So this question of, you know, should we do an additional analysis, I think was well discussed in the prior agenda item. Obviously, the timing of April on this additional review is not going to coincide with the requirements under prop for the rate increases and be able to hit a July 1st date. The analysis is still, I think, important given, as Rob Hilton mentioned on the prior item, no agencies in California have implemented SB 1383 yet. And so their continued technical support in the program development and the program refinement, I do believe are very important. One of the things that I think is also important is if based on this additional work, we find the opportunity to really save costs down the road, then I think that's really sort of a second or third year analysis because we have to replenish reserves as well. So if we have cost savings that we identify, we're going to end up seeing reserves replenishing faster than anticipated, and then in year two or three, potentially having a rate reduction. That's not a, there's no way any guarantee there, but the two trade-offs are, do we do more analysis right now to think that maybe we can reduce the 5.4%? And I just find that that's probably not very likely given the time constraints. And in addition, outside of consulting efforts, there's just some real practical things that affect costs more than consulting analysis, and that's like procurement and requests for proposals, competitive requests for proposals with well-developed scopes of work and metrics incorporated in them. Those are, you know, some of the actions we're going to be moving forward on that might have more potential for cost savings. So again, I think the analysis is important, you know, as your board has previously directed. And also lastly, with when Patty and I talked with Cal Recycle the other day, one of the other agencies, and I can't remember, Patty, if it was San Mateo or Sonoma or whom, but Cal Recycle. Pardon me?
It was Think or Stop Waste.
Stop Waste. And they've gone through this similar types of analysis. And so I got a contact name in order to follow up with their general manager and executive director to see how they approach this analysis. But all things considered with, you know, the details of SB 1383, I think the additional work is good. From the discussion on the prior item, I guess your board might not be inclined to do optional task 5B.
Keith.
Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate the clarification, as I'm sure many others do. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. Keith Storton.
Thanks. Just a quick question for Paavo. So Paavo, the cost of this, if we're looking at proposal two without task 5B, do you feel that in the long run, by doing this option, it will basically pay for itself over time?
I do, you know, and understandably, with not having a detailed working relationship with HFNH, you know, their fee proposal seems reasonable to me. I'm also hoping to actually bring the actual fees down, you know, by working with them and developing good working relationships. So I understand their fee estimate. My hope is that it would actually come down.
Great. Thanks for that. I would be a bit in favor of moving forward with proposal two without the 5B. And as time is of the essence, trying to move forward and getting these things done and put us in a place to where perhaps we can analyze it even further at a later date. But I appreciate the information, and that's just my feedback.
Thank you, Keith. Jan.
Yes, I had a question in terms of the developing the budget. Are we, it's my understanding, we have not yet adopted a SB 1383 implementation plan. And I think that that would that the plan itself would have budgetary impacts. So I'm just curious what the plan might be in terms of adopting a 1383 implementation plan.
Aldo, did you want me to take that?
Yes, Patty, and if Rob is still, he might help as well.
Yeah, we actually have an SB 1383 plan, as you mentioned, a contract with Rob Hilton. We have it in draft form, but because so much has changed recently with the county's departure, et cetera, and this reformulation of the IWMA, it's not current. So what we're doing is waiting, so to speak, for the dust to settle just a little bit, and then Rob Hilton, we can re-engage him on that and bring together a final plan to bring before this board.
Okay, so if the timing such that the budgetary development and analysis that we're talking about, and I also support alternate number two, will that information and the parameters of the plan be included in the budgetary analysis and the budgetary development?
If I may, the 1383 cost and resource plan that we prepared as part of the draft that Patty's talking about were in fact incorporated into your current budget. So as Brooks and Patty and the team were working on the budget for the current.
Yeah, Matt, are you listening to this? So, okay, what about 5B? What's your druthers on that? I mean, that.
Hey, hold on, John.
Sorry for that interruption.
So in any event, the budget that was formulated for fiscal 21-22 incorporated all of those resource plans and all of the cost estimates from the 1383 draft. As Patty indicated, we were told not to finalize that, and it was put on pause while some of these changes occurred so that we could revisit it later and see if there were significant differences. It would be timely to do that as part of reviewing the 45 programs that you operate as part of the SRRE and the HHWE, and then looking again, given the current constituency of the organization, to put together the final resource plan for 1383 as part of this management review. So I think it's very timely for these things to come together and come to your board again, hopefully very quickly in April.
Okay, so they will dovetail. I just want to make sure that information is included in what we're planning, because again, from the point of view of the entities and those people doing the 218, challenge, they need to know exactly what the IWMA is going to be doing, exactly what how we will be addressing 1383. So, okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
John, I take it you were on a side conversation. I don't know if you had comments.
Thank you, Charles. I was talking with the staff. We agree, again, 5B is not really needed. I think, again, definitely proposal two would be what Pass Robles would favor.
All right, thank you. Any other comments? I have a comment, but I want to wait till every other board member has a chance to speak, and then we'll go to public comment. Any other board comments? Okay. I have a comment, and then we'll go to public comment. And as I have actually mixed feelings about this, I personally have questioned the necessity of this. I'm not a big fan of spending a lot of money having outside looks. I especially have a new interim director. He's in a good position to look at what we do, how we do it. Rob's been a consultant with us throughout the strategic planning at 1383 process. So hope that we would be kind of hearing about any inefficiencies that might be readily apparent in our operations. But on the other hand, all of our cities, essentially led by our city managers and their resolution that float around, have all asked for this. I was initially surprised at the price. And so I'm still a little surprised at the price of alternative two as well. And so, I mean, I've I'm a little bit torn, and I would, frankly, I would probably vote no on doing this at all, but our jurisdictions who we're here to represent have all asked for this. And so I can, you know, think that it's a reasonable thing. I would also comment though on option 5B, that 5B should be included in the contract, but only be exercised if the board, you know, in February or something before it sets a rate resolution, decides to potentially want to evaluate that separate path. As of this moment, it sounds like we don't want to, but I don't think it hurts to include an option in a contract and then just not exercise it. And I gather from Pablo's comments regarding potentially trying to keep some of the costs down that, you know, these are estimated hours, and this, maybe this is a question to Rob. These are estimated hours. If it's found not necessary to utilize all of them, they won't all be utilized and they won't all be billed. Is that a fair assumption?
That is correct. This is time and materials not to exceed the figure you're seeing here. And, you know, in the couple of months we have, it would be somewhat challenging to bill those sorts of hours and get all of the hours that we've got in the price proposal done by, you know, March in time to get this to your board. So my hope is that it won't take all of that and that we'll be able to get this to you under that. And again, as Pavo said, the more we can cooperate with staff and lean on them to get some of the administrative and process related stuff done, the better. When we put our original proposal in, Pavo wasn't in the picture and we were assumed to have to sort of lead all of that coordination and all the administrative and process related stuff ourselves. So I think that will help to unburden it a little bit. I also anticipate, having done a number of these before, that when we deliver it to you at your April meeting, that won't be the end of the engagement. You'll have questions, you'll have, you know, further deep dives that you'll want done on things. And so it'll be good to come to that meeting with some budget remaining so that we can respond to those things as appropriate.
Thank you. That makes me feel better. And like I said, I would suggest, though, that regardless of the proposal, that we do include task 5B, but it would, you know, pend a future board decision, you know, before they would be called upon to exercise that and spend hours on that. It would be dependent on a future board decision, probably in February. Yes, John.
Yeah, I was going to go ahead and make a motion then. What I would suggest here is that we
We got to get public comment first before we do a motion.
Oh, I thought we did that. All right, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
Point of order, I have a 3:30 hard stop, so I would like to be able to vote on this if possible.
Okay, well, let's just go out
and leave at 3:30. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jen. Let's go out and see if we have any public comment, and then we'll bring it back to the board.
Okay, at this time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may press the raise hand button down at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press *9. I am not seeing anybody for public comment.
Okay, we'll bring it back to the board, and I think we're ready for a motion.
Yeah, Charles, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion then to go ahead and approve proposition or proposal number 2, not to exceed $69,755, but at this point, not exercise task 5B unless a further direction given, but at least not to exceed basically the full amount, so we still have the money there if we need it.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion by John Hammond, second by Jan Marks. Do we have any discussion of the motion? Okay, seeing none, let's go proceed to a roll call.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Aye.
Ms. Bright?
Yes.
And Mr. Enns is absent for this vote. Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
And Mr. Burbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-1 absent.
Okay, thank you all. And then with that, we are done with these numbered agenda items. We discuss future agenda items. And I would note for John Hammond's benefit, staff did include the upcoming meeting dates for both the board and the executive committee. And as of this time, while we do not have any other scheduled ad hoc committee or meetings with HFNH and the cities regarding the rates. So does anybody have any future agenda items they would like to suggest or discuss?
Charles, I just have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
In regard to our search for a director, I thought I had expected that somebody would get a hold of me. I don't know if that has happened yet as far as outreach, or do you have any status on what's happening with our with Avery and Associates and their outreach?
That's a damn good question.
I appreciate the comment, and I'll take a follow-up with Mr. Avery and get back to you on that.
Great. Thank you very much, Patty.
You're welcome.
Good question, Keith, because I mean, in everything that's been happening and the holidays and whatever, I kind of forgot about it, but you're right. I kind of would have expected an outreach for scheduling something by now. So yeah, Patty, please do that. That would be great. Does anybody else have any questions, future agenda items or?
Yeah, Charles, I would just say that we ought to put the same item on what we just talked about, you know, on a future agenda, just keep it in front of us at every meeting we have.
I would agree with that, John. That's a good idea to keep. In my mind, it's the rate setting discussion, however we want to call it. I don't know if we need a separate discussion on this review that we just approved, but certainly the rate setting one we need to discuss every month or have on there. Anybody else? Any other thoughts?
No. Yes, please. Yes, please. Karen Bright here.
Okay, go ahead, Karen, and then Jan.
Thank you. I just wanted to announce that there will be a new representative from the city of Rover Beach that will be the board member. I believe that will start next month. His name is Robert. He has a great interest in recycling and a lot of experience as well. So he was very, really anxious to take part in this, on this board. And so this will most likely be my last meeting, at least during his tenure. So anyway, thank you very much for all that you've done to help me with this business. And so you can welcome Robert next month, hopefully. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Karen. That's a little surprise announcement, but thank you for informing us. Thank you for your service on this body and your contributions. We appreciate it. And we'll look forward to meeting Robert Squared, I guess.
thank you.
So anyway, thank you again. Good luck in your other committee assignments and your role in the city council. Jan?
Yes, I just would like to make sure that the SB 1383 implementation plan is adopted. So if that needs to be a separate agenda item, let's do that and do it as soon as we can so that everybody knows. So it's not just folded into the budget in an informal way, but it's actually out there. So that and transparent, so that all the entities know, here's what the IWMA is going to do to implement SB 1383, and then also the dollar amounts that are attached with that. I think that will also make it easier for the public to understand and accept the rate hike that we're going to have to impose, because they'll see, oh my God, there's this whole new agenda and new work program that has got to go forward, that we are mandated, so unfunded mandate from the state. But we're going to comply, and here's how we're going to do it.
Thank you, Jan. I think that's probably a reasonable point, and Pavo and Patty and staff will work on at least ensuring we have something out that's available to the public. So, and bring it back for discussion at the next full board meeting. Okay, any other items from any board members? All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Yes. All right, well, thank you. We typically don't have an emotion, so we will just, give you the waving motion, say thank you to everybody.
Thank you, Karen.
Yes,
Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen. Good luck to you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.